Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they're life. The words, they're spirit and they're life. How today are we going to see the valley of dry bones in the culture that we live in? How are we going to see them be born again? How are we going to see life, Jesus breathing life? It's going to take two things, gang. It's going to take his followers to speak out the word of God, and then we let the Holy Spirit of God do the rest.
Jesus told his disciples that his words are spirit and life. Unfortunately, we as believers can easily become distracted from focusing on this reality as we go about our daily lives. That being said, how can we possibly expect to speak spirit and life to others? In today's message, Pastor Michael reflects on the importance of both meditating and speaking words of spirit and life. In his study, you will be encouraged to focus on the eternal words of God rather than the fleeting things of this world. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
We already have everything that he wanted to say. Does that make sense? We have it all. And this is why my red flags go up big time when someone comes on the scene with something new. And they say, well, you know, I've got this new truth that I want to share. If it doesn't line up with what's already in God's word, I'm out. I don't listen to it. Yeah, but what about people that claim to be prophets today and they've got a new word and there's this new thing? You know, they're talking about holy laughter or whatever. Fill in the blank. I'm just being honest with you. If I don't see it in here, dude, I'm out. You with me? This is such a precious thing that we have the Bible. And we just got back from a pastor's conference a couple weeks ago, but it's something I hear many, many pastors say is that people don't have Bibles anymore. Because we put the scriptures on screens and things like that, and I understand, but we've sort of made like this whole generation of people who don't know how to like open a Bible and read it. And I think we're missing something. I have electronic Bibles and things like that, but there's something I like the smell of my Bible. I'm just being honest. I like to write in my Bible and take notes and scribble and highlight and stuff. I love all that stuff, but here's the deal. God's word will never fade away. Even if people stop buying Bibles and bringing them to church, we got them electronically or whatever, but God's word will endure, absolutely. Let me go up here to verse 23 of 1 Peter. So I read verse 24, but the one right before that says, because you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Peter here is talking about being born again. And he uses some interesting language that is, I really worked hard this week to try to be able to say this to you without offending anybody. When it talks about perishable seed, the Greek word is, it's the stuff that your earthly father produced to create you. So what's Peter getting down to? Peter's saying, born again, being born again is not like when you were born the first time. The first time, it was a result of your dad and this perishable seed, which, by the way, that seed doesn't last very long. It doesn't produce life very long. You were born of an imperishable seed. It never dies. It doesn't go bad. Listen, the perishable seed that you and I are all a result of, our earthly father's perishable seed, we're here. It speaks of how you and I, we are perishing. Does that make sense? I mean, dude, I hate looking in the mirror these days because every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded, Michael, you're perishing. I don't say those exact words, but when I see the wrinkles and the sagging skin, the sagging sin too, I see the yellowing teeth. I see the hair that's like falling out everywhere and coming out in other places. I realize, dude, you are dying. You are perishing. You know why? Because I'm of perishable seed. But when you're born again, dude, Peter's trying to describe what Jesus was talking to in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, very smart and learned guy, you know, just like, yeah, Nick, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus was like, well, how does that happen? How does a man enter back into his mother? I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus is like, are you kidding me? You're a teacher and you don't understand that? This is what Peter is unpacking here. When someone is born again, first time you're born of perishable seed, but the second time, dude, it's imperishable. You can't, you will live forever. This is why John, and he goes on in John chapter 3 talking to Nicodemus, the very famous verse, God so loved the world. Come on, you know it. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes would not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. In the Greek language, everlasting means everlasting. That's what it means. It, okay, ready for this? It lasts forever. Nice job. You guys are awesome. Okay? We're born again. And then Peter says this. How are we born again? He says, born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Listen, through the living and enduring word of God. How are you born again? It's through God's word right here. Whether it's the written word or the spoken word, it brings life. It makes people alive. Why? Because it is living. I'm going to give you an Old Testament example, and we're almost done. You guys still with me? Okay, good. I'm pumped about this. Okay, so I was going to read you the story, but I'm going to tell you the story. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 37, kind of a famous story in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a prophet, and God speaks to him, and he says this. He says, Ezekiel, that's what he called him. That's what God called him. He says, Ezekiel, he goes, I want you to go. And the Bible says that the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. So he goes out in the wilderness, and there's all these dead bones, right? And they're everywhere. It's almost like there was a battle that was fought there years and years ago. And all the dead people, they didn't take time to bury them. They were just they all died on the battlefield. And then the sun and the animals, ate them, and the sun dried up their bones. And so Ezekiel gets out there, and it's just this valley of dry bones, okay? And so God tells him, he says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the bones. Remember what prophecy means. Speak God's word, okay? So Ezekiel's like, okay, God, I'll do it. You know, you told me to preach. I'll preach to these, no one else will listen, so I'll preach. So he prophesies to the bones, and then it's so cool, dude, because the Bible says that the bones started moving. Like, I imagine, like, you know, hyenas or something have taken the bones and dragged them all over. So here's like one guy named Charlie. It's not like a perfect skeleton. Charlie's head's over there. Charlie's femur's over there, you know. And so all of a sudden, the Bible says you hear a rattling. Like, I don't know what that sounds like. Dim bones. I don't know. Anyway, so they're rattling and they come together, right? And the thigh bone connected to the knee bone connected to, come on, you know this. All right, anyway. They all start coming together. So pretty soon, all skeleton. And then the Bible says, as he's speaking the word of God, that joints and muscle and then skin, and these dudes are up. They all are back, this army of people, but they're not quite alive yet. They're actually kind of like zombies. Okay, it was a valley of dry bones, and now they're just these bodies there. And so God tells Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy now to the wind, to the breath from the north, the west, the east, the south, and I want you to prophesy. And so he does, and the wind comes in, and it fills this army of dudes, and they all become a living army. Say, well, what's the big deal? I believe that whole story is a beautiful picture of what happens when we're born again. When we become alive, and how a person becomes born again. Because it's an equation. You need two things. You need to have the word of God spoken, as Ezekiel prophesied the word. And then the second thing that needs to happen is you need the Spirit of God to draw you in. Does that make sense? Jesus, one time in John chapter 6, verse 63, he said this, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they're life. The words, their spirit, and their life. How today are we going to see the valley of dry bones in the culture that we live in? How are we going to see them be born again? How are we going to see life, Jesus breathing life? It's going to take two things, gang. It's going to take his followers to speak out the word of God, And then we let the Holy Spirit of God do the rest. But we got to speak it, dude. We have to speak it. Paul the Apostle, one time in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, says this: how then can they call on God, or the God that they have not believed in? How can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Paul's basically saying, how is anybody ever going to get born again unless somebody preaches to them? And get out of your mind what we're doing here. He's not talking about a preacher on a stage in a church. He's talking about all of us. Not speaking at people, but sharing with people the word of God. God can uniquely bring dry bones back to life, but he needs us to open our mouths. He needs us to share not just our testimony. Our testimony is very important, but I want you to hear what I'm saying here. You must share the word of God, and it'll bring life to people. Why? Because it is alive. It ain't in the bargain bins. It endures forever. It doesn't pop up like grass and flowers and then fade away. It endures forever. It's living. And the only way people can be born again is through the enduring, living word of God, Peter says in our text. And by the way, this whole dynamic that I'm describing can work in any area of life. Maybe you say, Michael, my marriage is dry. We have a couple here from Denver celebrating their 20th year anniversary. Congratulations. So this isn't you guys, but other people maybe. Saying, man, my marriage is dry. Like, we've tried everything. We've gone to counseling, and it's just not been good. That's a good way to describe it. We're dry. You know what the dynamic, you know what the thing is that you need to do? You speak the word. I have seen couples, and Kelly and I have seen this happen in couples that are totally struggling, ready to throw in the towel, ready to be divorced. They make a commitment. They take the challenge in the mornings to wake up and read the word together. And I've seen God do a miracle and transform and bring life to a dead bones. Seen it happen. I've seen it happen in the dynamic of a family with children, wayward children or whatever. How do we get our kids to be in love with Jesus? How do we do it? You speak the word. Just start bombing them with scriptures. My mom used to write little things on napkins to me. You know, Jesus loves you, Michael. And she'd write a little verse on there. And I'd be at school and I'd be like, oh, thanks, Bo. Don't let anybody see. I love Jesus today. Bomb. Just be like the Unabomber. Dropping bombs everywhere of scripture. Listen, friends, we say, I have a friendship that's gone dry. Bring in the word. Churches that are dead and dry, I'm going to suggest to you right now, you know why? It's because so many churches and so many pulpits have gotten into preaching philosophies and good principles, and we've gotten away from preaching the unadulterated, powerful word of God. Because when you preach the word, dude, it has power. Some of you know the story, but I had a gentleman here in town tell me when I came, when we moved here, very first week, he took me out to lunch. And he said, Michael, if you think you're going to come into this town and preach that this book is real and that Jesus is the only way, I give you 6 months. That's what he said to me. And I said, well, then I won't hang pictures on the wall because I won't be here very long. That's all I know how to do. It is only the word that lasts. Amen? Amen. The word. It works in every area. You don't got to preach at them, but you share with them the word of God. And it has a powerful impact. You say, Michael, how do you know it has a powerful impact? You guys ask great questions. Look what Isaiah chapter 55 says. Verse 10, for just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there, without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, just like all of that, verse 11, so my word, God says, that comes from my mouth, will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in what I send it to do. God says through the prophet Isaiah, because Isaiah was carried along by the Holy Spirit, remember? And so God says, you know, you see rain and snow fall, and how does it work? It saturates into the ground, and then you see plant life come up. And just like that, dude, just like that, when my word falls on somebody's life, they will produce life. It'll have an impact. It'll have the exact impact I want it to have. It'll never come back to me empty. Say, well, I'm not sure, you know, it's just, I don't know. No, God can accomplish big things, but we got to use his word. You see what I'm saying? When we get into, well, I think you're a lion, or I think you're choleric, and I think all that stuff fades away, man. What lasts is God's word. All right. So we got to be those who are constantly planting these seeds everywhere. I think you plant them in your children all the time. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay? And I'll put the scripture up there, but it's right after, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And then it says this. It says, write this stuff down, man. Put it by your doorpost. Write it on your hands. Put it on your forehead. Do everything you can. When you're laying down in bed, when you're talking to your children, give them what? The word. This is a principle of the Lord here, is that we got to do it. And maybe you say, well, Michael, okay, I get it. That's a nice little sermon. All right, that's okay. Truth is, I don't really know that many Bible verses, so how do I give them? Challenge yourself to learn some stinking Bible verses. You can learn scriptures. Whatever it is, get the little verse of the day on your Bible app, and it'll pop up at you. I think it was Colton. We were talking last Sunday, and we were leaving church, and you're like, oh, what's that? And he goes, oh, it's my Bible verse for the day. And I can't remember what it was, but it was like exactly what we were talking about. And we were like, what the? What is that? Just the Bible app, verse of the day. You can. What? I don't care how you do it. Get the word implanted in your life. Planting imperishable seed, which is the word of God, in the valley of dry bones, wherever it is. Maybe you look in the mirror and that's the valley of dry bones. You're just going, that dude's dry. Maybe saying, oh, Michael, I'd be really groovy if I could, you know, share verses with people and plant in the valley of dry bones. That'd be really great if God could use me. But the truth is, dude, I'm pretty dry. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you're like, spiritually, I've been dry for a long, long time. I want to encourage you with one more verse and then we're done, okay? Still with me? Yeah. Last verse. God can use even dry people. So this is in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 13. I'm just going to read two verses. But verse 20 says this, then Elisha died and he was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to come into the land in the spring of the year. Once, as the Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a raiding party, so they threw the man into Elisha's tomb. And when he touched Elisha's bones, the man revived and stood up. Like, that's a funky little story. It's like there's a lot more to it, but I'm just telling you, that little part of it is like, what? Elisha, man of God, did all these incredible miracles, twice as many as Elijah. Elisha was a man of God, and so he dies, just saying, they died and they buried him in a tomb. And one day there was the raiding party, and they saw him, they're like, oh no, and they were burying their buddy, and they're like, we got to get rid of him quick, and so they took him into the tomb. He rubs up against Elisha's dead, dry bones, and the guy wakes up. What's the point? The point is this, God can bring life to anybody when he wills. Say, well, I just feel really dry. I've been kind of dead spiritually. Watch out, man. God can have somebody rub up against you. We talked to a guy. I talked to him a few weeks ago when I was in Kansas City, and he's been severely abusing alcohol, okay? And when I knew him, he was like big time a part of a men's Bible study, and the guy had all kinds of, he was just living, and he came because we were there, he just kind of confessed. He said, man, I've really not been doing good in my life. I was like, man, let me pray for you. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, it's so weird. Even though I've been in this really dark place, people will come up to me and I'll remember scriptures that I learned and I'll tell them at work. And all of a sudden, they're getting rocked. And I walk away going, God, why don't you rock me like you just rocked that dude that I was talking to? God can bring life, even if you're feeling dry. But you know what Christians do? This is what we do. I hear people say stuff like this, like, well, you know, Pastor Michael, I want to be all in for God, and I want to be pedal to the metal, man, and I want to be passionate, and I want to live my life with purpose. But right now, it's just not a really good time for me, dude, and I just need to work on me. But like one day, we think like the pastors and the missionaries, like we think they're the ones that advance the kingdom of God. But the truth is, God wants to use all of the body to advance the kingdom and drive back the realms of darkness that are taking over our generation. But he needs to use us. We have to be those that open our mouth. We have to be those that plant in the valley of dry bones. And so we say, well, you know, when I get my act together and you know, when I can just work on me, then maybe I'll do something for the Lord. Then I'll serve in the church, or then I'll do whatever, fill in the blank. And here's the problem with that kind of thinking. Ready? You look like a lifelong project to me. That's the problem. And by the way, so am I. If we all wait until we're ready, like until, well, as soon as I'm a better Christian and I've memorized most of the Bible, then I'll, if we all wait for that, dude, nothing will get done. Amen? So open yourself up and say, God, even though I'm feeling a little dry right now, I want to be used by you, whatever you want. May we be those, first and foremost, that understand this book is alive. And when we speak it, sharing with people, not speaking at them, but sharing with people, just a little verse, drop a little bomb on them. I had a guy, I sold some stuff this week on Telluride Sweet Deals, okay? And I sold a weight set that I had. So this guy, and I've never met him before, and I think we're friends now. I met this guy, he lives around here, and we're talking for a long time in my driveway and loaded up the stuff, and we're talking, and he notices the tattoos, and that freaked him out that a Christian could have tattoos, you know? It's so funny how non-Christians can tell Christians what they're supposed to look like. Anyway, doesn't matter. So we're talking, and I dropped a verse. I just unibombed him. And I said, yeah, you know, I didn't say 1 Samuel 16:7. I didn't say the address, but I quoted the verse. And I said, the Bible says that, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I'm so glad God looks at the heart, because my outward appearance is pretty lame. And this is what he did. He goes, yeah, that is true. That's pretty cool. And I was like, yeah, that is cool, bro. That's cool. That man does look at the outward appearance, but God looks at my heart, dude. And he looks at your heart. He drove off with the weight set and he left. And I don't know if I'll ever see him. I think I will, because he's here in town. But here's the point. Open your mouth and speak the word. Man, that's Nathaniel pouring oil over young David, anointing him as king. He's the youngest son of Jesse. How could he ever be the king? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. It's this little verse, one of my favorites. I learned it a long time ago. But I think you can deposit things like that into people's lives. You never know what God can do. But I'll tell you this, he can do something big, way bigger than you and I think. Amen? So may we be those that recognize and realize that this book is alive, that it is enduring, it will last forever. It'll last when I'm gone, when you're gone, when this church fades away, should Jesus tarry. I don't think he will, but should he tarry, his word will endure forever and ever and ever. May we realize that, recognize that. And then secondly, may we share with people God's word, planting even in the valley of dry bones, because God can do big things. Amen.
As a follower of Jesus, you have a unique call on your life. You are, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That gives you a purpose and a chance to shine for Jesus in a world that's fallen away from him. You are expected to look different than those around you, to have actions and words that stand out, that point to Christ. This calling is for all believers, not just a certain nation or certain profession. And it isn't a mission that will be easy either. You aren't alone as you proclaim Jesus' grace through your life. You have brothers and sisters in Christ all around you. Today, we want to encourage you to draw strength from God's Word, from your community of faith, and from Jesus Himself. We're so glad we were able to spend time with you today on Burning Hearts, the radio ministry of the Alpine Chapel and Pastor Michael Kraft. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to explore other teachings from the Bible, visit thealpinechapel.com today. While you're there, find out how you can join us in person for church this weekend. We're meeting Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 6 p.m. for a midweek dive back into the Word. You can get directions and all the information you need at thealpinechapel.com. Again, that's thealpinechapel.com. And be sure to join us next time for another edition of Burning Hearts.